God's future. And it's always a win-win. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. Here's Resurrection Sunday. Three of you agree with this. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. When you come to church, do you hope you sit next to somebody who's not loud? Do you position yourself? You know, if you come once and then you come a second time, have you sort of eyed it out when you come the next time that where the loud people are and where the quiet people are? Where the people who love dancing on graves and the people who love, you know, sleeping on them or whatever? You know? I'll tell you, I think it's good to, if you're not a wild sort of person, to occasionally go to a wild sort of church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I wasn't raised in a wild sort of church. And I remember there was a church in the area that we knew was, or we'd heard was wild. And that used to use the phrase swinging from the chandeliers. You ever heard that phrase? Maybe you're not from, you know, you don't use it in the culture in which you come from, but people who, you know, full of the Holy Ghost and just love Jesus and want to express their love for him in a crazy way, we used to refer to them as people swinging from the chandeliers. And I remember there's a church that in the area that had that reputation, although I'd never experienced it. And I was a bit afraid of it. And so one Sunday night, I went there. You know, I went on my own, didn't go with my wife. I'll just go and check this place out and experience this chandelier swinging. But you know, when I got there, there was no chandeliers and there was no one swinging. And it was pretty just ordinary. I was quite disappointed. So we thought, well, we're going to have to create one ourselves. But we haven't got the height in this room to have chandeliers. That's the only reason we don't have chandeliers, because it's not the height. And so we can't swing from them. But we love Jesus. And I'll tell you, we love expressing our love for him in a way that is sometimes goes beyond what we naturally would normally do. Because when the power of God touches you, I believe it changes you. And the power of resurrection is so phenomenal, only ever experienced by Jesus. I believe when we get our head around that, it can cause us to get a little bit excited. So don't be embarrassed if you're sat next to somebody who's not as crazy as you. And don't be embarrassed if you're sat next to somebody who's crazier than you. If you get what I mean. You know, we're all together. And we all love Jesus. We express ourselves in different ways. But we love to express ourselves, our love for Jesus, in a way that just gets excited, shows our excitement. It's amazing what people will get excited about. I know Christians that will get excited about a football match. It's amazing what we'll get excited about. I just tell you, there's nothing worth more than getting excited about than the resurrection power Hallelujah. Of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Death and destruction can't hold the Son of God. On Friday, he was, and we remembered, that he was crucified on a cross and that he was buried in a tomb. But a tomb can't hold the Son of God. Death and destruction can't hold Jesus. And that same power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in every person who believes in him. Amen. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are just an ordinary person. No? You're saved. Amen. You're saved. The Bible says you're born again. You are no longer who you used to be. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Jesus said of his disciples and those of us who are his followers that as he is, so are we in this world. Come on, something took place on that first Easter Sunday, then that resurrection Sunday, that broke the power that contained the crucified Jesus. You see, the purposes of God are greater than the purposes of the devil. There are some things in the basket that we had here at the bottom of the cross on Friday that you could say were a manifestation of the work of the devil or of his purposes. See, the devil wants you downtrodden. The devil's happy for you to be sick. The devil's happy for you to be in pain. The devil's happy for you to be miserable, depressed. It's part of his purpose. But the purposes of God are greater than the purposes of the devil. You see, when Jesus walked this earth, he was very aware of the devil and his works. He spoke to his disciples. He spoke to his followers about them. He would forgive sins. He'd heal the sick. He'd cast out demons. He was very aware of the works of the devil in people's lives and that was going on around. Because he was on this earth in a fallen world. We live on this earth in a fallen world. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. See, this life we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for us and rose again. See, Jesus was very aware of the devil's purpose, but he was also very aware of his own purpose. Come on, sometimes we can get a little bit wound up and a little bit about the purposes of the devil and all the stuff that's going on in our life, but never forget the purposes of God. His purpose is our purpose. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief has a purpose. The New Living Translation says a purpose. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have a greater purpose, and that is to give life and a rich and a satisfying life. Or life in abundance, the King James says. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Come on. He was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. We know that he overcame that when he hung on a cross. He took upon himself all our sin, all our shame, all those works of the devil. But on the Sunday morning, 3 days later, he rose again. The tomb was empty. Tomb was empty. Death could not hold him. The tomb could not hold him. You see, on the Friday, the devil thought he'd won a victory. You know, thought it was over. We'd done it. It's dealt with. You know, he thought he won a victory. The Jesus who Peter knew as the Christ, the Son of the living God, was well and truly dead, was well and truly finished, was well and truly sealed in a tomb. Not only a tomb, but a guarded tomb. We're not going to let anything overcome what we finished, what we dealt with. He's out of the way. Let's read from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. It says, on the next day, after he had been crucified, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember. We heard some things. He said some things while he was still alive. This deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. It says, therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, saying to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. You can't seal up. You can do it as much as you can. You can do it as much as you understand with your own understanding. You know, as much as you can, seal the tomb up. You can't seal up something totally in your own strength. That the God of heaven has himself the power to overcome. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a guard. This wasn't just some inspirational story, by the way. This wasn't just something to make you feel good, to keep you going until next Sunday. Because they see there were people here who wanted to make sure it was over for Jesus and his followers. And they could get back to their life, which almost like they'd lost control of. Get back to what was normal for them. Control is a powerful thing that's in all of us to some degree. There are people in your life who want to control things that you would like to think. You know, just a little extra for Easter, but you know, the power of the resurrection broke control. It's amazing how we allow things to control us. And these people wanted to keep control. Let's Just in case there's something in what he was talking, they were talking about how he would rise on the third day. Let's make sure he's dead and buried and sealed in that tomb so he can't get out. That nothing can, no miraculous way he can just be resurrected in the tomb and get out. If the tomb's sealed, he's never going to get out. Let's maintain control. But this, on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, was a fulfillment of God's plan for the redemption of mankind. Now, Jesus, who walked the earth, really was the Son of God. Jesus, who was born to the Virgin Mary and lived this life on earth, 33 years really was the Son of God. But he really was crucified. You know, it's not just a story that we make up at Easter and makes it has a sad ending and then a nice beginning. You know, even generally, naturally, people in the world today, you know, think of Easter as the changing of a season. You know, the weather's getting better, the days are getting longer, things are looking up, there's some hope, the winter's gone. He really was crucified. He really did hang on a cross. He really did shed his blood. He really was buried in a tomb. After he was crucified, what do we do with this body? Someone says, well, I've got a tomb. It's a new tomb. It's never been used before. You can use that. It's sealed. It's strong. It's got a big stone over it. He really was buried. But the power of resurrection is greater than the power of death. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold him, and he did rise from the dead. He did rise from the dead. Easter Sunday in the church I grew up in, you'd always sing, up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph. I used to think it was toes, but it's foes. Maybe my hearing wasn't very good, or I just heard what I wanted to hear. Death could not hold him, and he did rise from the dead. Let's just visit the tomb just for a moment, because in the first accounts we get of the resurrection is the visiting of the tomb. At the first available moment, we see two Marys come to the tomb to visit, to embalm, but of course they didn't understand when they got there. Maybe they hadn't pre-planned. How were they going to roll the stone away? But that wasn't a problem, because when they got there, the stone was rolled away already. And when they got there, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5, it says, but the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. You seek Jesus who was crucified. This angel knew exactly why they were there. You know, we have to understand that he was crucified. We have to understand that it is the third day, and just a couple of days earlier, Jesus carried the sins of the world to the cross. And church, that's where they stayed. Forgiven. Your sin of it, your sin, all of it, and all the influence of the devil on your life. All the influence of the devil on your life was taken care of at the cross. Once and for all. You know, you will never appreciate Easter Sunday if you don't get Good Friday. They come together. You'll never appreciate resurrection power if you don't get the crucifixion. And church, the world needs to see throughout the body of Christ a demonstration of resurrection power. Like never before. So when the visitors came to the tomb, the body of Jesus wasn't there as they were expecting it. You know, when people visit what they think is the old, they shouldn't find what they expect. Let me say that again. When people visit what they think is the old, so they thought they were visiting a tomb with a body in it. So when people, let me say it like this. The tomb of your old life is empty. That's why, you know, when you get born again, to certain people in your world who only know you as you used to be, there are parts of you that are unrecognizable. Trouble is people will still see you as being in the tomb. They will still see you as they used to know you. And that can be frustrating for them. And sometimes people, you know, lose friends through it. Because you're not who you used to be. The tomb is empty. Your old life has been transformed. And you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because all things have passed away. The tomb is empty. So that they don't find you as they expect you. What's happened to you? You used to do this. You used to like this. You used to talk like this. You used to hang around this. No, the tomb is empty. I'm living now in a resurrected, with a resurrected life. See, God had rolled the stone away and the resurrected Jesus had walked free. Let me read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Some people don't know that. What that is, that's very early in the morning is when a lot of people get up and you don't get up. Very early in the morning is when you get your places on time. You don't miss your train or your bus or whatever it is. You're the traffic. They and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So they were expecting something. It was mentioned they were expecting a body. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, you know, we in 2023 don't find that surprising because we know the story. But for them, their world is just being blown apart. Their world is being blown apart. They don't know it. They are living it out. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed. That is confused, worried, concerned, mind blown apart about this. That behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why? I tell you, we know what they were saying to these women at that time in a tomb which they were expecting to be have the body of Jesus in. But I tell you, in the 21st century, as Christians, sometimes, you know, we hang around, we try and find something of the living amongst the dead. He says, he's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still alive in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Ah, and they remembered his words. And when they remembered his words, everything changes for them. Everything changes when we remember his words. They had been with Jesus. They'd walked with him. Luke chapter 9, he was talking to them, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And in verse 43 of Luke chapter 9 says, and they were amazed at the majesty of God, and well, everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did. He said to his disciples, but they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them, so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed. Into the hands of men. Let these things sink into your ears. And they allowed them to sink into theirs, getting to their, just meditate on them. Remember what he is saying. Remember how he spoke to you when he was with you, when he was walking. And at the time that he was speaking to them, they didn't understand those things which he was saying. But at this time, when they're standing in the before an empty tomb where they were expecting Jesus to be, his body to be laying, and the angels were there talking to him, says, remember how he spoke to you. Well, I tell you, as Christians in the 21st century, we need to bring to our remembrance some of the things which are spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let these words sink into your ears. Let them get into your understanding. The New Living Translation says, listen to me and remember what I say. Listen to me and remember what I say. God is looking, I believe, for people who will listen and remember what he said. And when we remember what he says, it comes into our understanding, and we remember what he has done for us and how we are positioned and what he did on the cross for us, and what that means that we can now live in resurrection power. Remember that the tomb is empty. Remember the words of Jesus. Let them sink deep into us. And I believe today God wants us to remember who we are as believers, what he has done for us. And on this Easter Sunday, it's a time when we gather and we remember about the resurrection. And we remember that we have this new life. But where does it go for us? How does it just stop here? Do we just do it on Easter Sunday because that's the time we have to go to church? All the shops are closed. Nothing much else we can do. Let's go to church. We're Christians. Of course, that's the foundation of our understanding. That's the foundation of our faith. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's vitally important, I believe, that we come and we remember that, but not just on an Easter Sunday. Because sometimes on other days, we're hanging around looking for the living amongst the dead. Jesus is alive. He is alive. And I want to just take us back to those things which we are. And we haven't got them here in the basket, but they were here in the basket, and they are around. They are here in this house. We're praying for those things that were brought to the cross on Friday. And they were left there. But what were they? So many of those things we could identify as works of the devil. People who need healing, people who need breakthroughs, people who need life-changing circumstances. And when he says, remember his words, remember what he spoke, remember that, when he walked the earth in Galilee, he would speak of the fact that he would be crucified. That he would take the sins of the world, that he would take the pain, that he would take the shame, he would take the guilt. He would take our past life and leave it there. It would be dealt with at the cross. His blood would flow, giving us forgiveness. And not only would he give us forgiveness of our sins, but he would deal with all the works of the devil. Once and for all. Once and for all. That's why we're here to remember. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11 through verse 15 says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of God, buried with him in baptism. in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwritten writing of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over in them in it. He overcame. He overcame. So not only has he forgiven us of our sins, not only do we have a home in heaven, but the resurrection power of God is available. Amen. To live a new life. To live a wild life. The thief's purpose is to kill. The thief's purpose is to steal. The thief's purpose is to destroy. But Jesus said, I have a greater purpose. I have a greater purpose to give you a rich and a satisfying life. A rich and a satisfying life. Because the purposes of the devil were destroyed. They were overcome. And they were overcome as Christ hung on a cross. And now we can live in newness of life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? I don't want to go long. We're not going long today. It's Easter Sunday. You know, but what we want to focus on this morning is the resurrection power of Jesus. Is the resurrection power of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, I need to see a manifestation of the resurrection power of Jesus in my life. Stand on your feet. To see a resurrection power of Jesus in my life. You know, you may not be physically able, you know, to dance on the graves or to dance on the gray carpets. But I tell you, it's worth having a go sometimes. It's worth having a go sometimes. It's worth having a go. It's worth having a go. I love that song. I know it's a bit of a tongue twister. It's powerful. I can see a few people, probably most people. I think it's everybody. Maybe you're at home as well and you're standing. You say, I want to see a manifestation of the resurrection power of Jesus. This is Easter Sunday. There's no greater day, I believe, to be in church. And come on, get your mind. Just start to remember what he has done for you. And they remembered his words. That they were crucified, I'd be delivered unto sinful men. But on the third day, I'd rise again. Church, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. He who is in me is greater than he who is in this world. You can say that to yourself. Look, place your hand on your heart and say, he who is in me is greater than he who is in this world. See, I need to see a manifestation of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He overcame the power of the enemy over my life. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The Son of Man was manifest that he might destroy the works of the enemy. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. Yes, that gives us a home in heaven. We can all believe for that. But maybe there's something else going on in your life. You say, on this earth, well, I'm here on this earth. I need to see the resurrection power of Jesus Christ manifest in my life. Could be in a relationship. Could be in your physical body. It could be anything. Anything going on in your life. Come on, this is Resurrection Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. Chains have been broken. That same power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead has given you new life. A life which is inhabited by the presence of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I've never even given my life to Jesus. I can't place my hand on my heart and say I'm a Christian. Before we go any further, I want to give you an opportunity. So I've never really given it much thought. But I can't say that I've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. And if that's you, without putting any a final word on it, when you leave this earth physically, you will spend eternity without Jesus. But if you're born again, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. If you've never said yes to Jesus, your eternity will be without him. But of course, if we said yes, our eternity is with him. So while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here this morning, you say, I can't place my hand on my heart and say, I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I'm a Christian. If you can't say that you've given your life to Jesus, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you want to say this morning, I want to give my life to Jesus, just raise your hand where you are. You can pray a prayer that would change your position. Is anybody here this morning who says, I want to give my life to Jesus? Let's pray a prayer anyway. Whether there's anybody here or not, I don't want to go without giving you this opportunity. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus. I recognize that without you, I am lost. And I recognize today that you died on a cross 2,000 years ago, took away my sin, forgave me of my past life to give me a new life. And I confess that you rose from the dead triumphantly and have given me new life. So I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth, that Jesus is Lord. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me a brand new person. If that's you this morning, you need to know that you're born again of the Spirit of God. Your eternity is sealed and you'll be with Jesus. Now let's come back and I want to pray for every person here, because I believe every person is, when I said stand up, if you need to see a manifestation of the resurrection power of Jesus in your life. Come on. Do you recognize that an empty tomb is phenomenal? That it's somewhat difficult to get your mind around. That there's a power that will break the power of death. And his name is Jesus. There's a power which breaks out of sealed tombs, and his name is Jesus. There's a power which will manifest a miracle in your life, And his name is Jesus. Father, I pray for every person. That says, I need to see a manifestation of resurrection power in my life. Not just in this moment, but I want to live it. Holy Spirit, just come, fill this place. Worship team are going to come back on the platform. Come on, let's say, Holy Resurrection power, come touch my life. I remember your words. I remember your words.